Good morning, this is Carol Ventura, Executive Director of Rhode Island Housing. This is the February 12, 2026 meeting of the Rhode Island Housing Affordable Housing Trust Fund. This meeting is also being conducted via live teleconference for public access. Carrie Levine, Director of Information Technology, will provide information on this meeting.
Good morning, this is Terry Lehane, Director of IT at Rhode Island Housing. This meeting will be recorded and available for review on the Rhode Island Housing website within 3 to 5 business days after the meeting. To prevent any feedback or background noise, your telephones will be muted. If during the meeting anyone is having technical difficulties with audio or accessing the call, they should call 401-429-1427.
Thank you, Terry. Good morning. This is Corinne Myers, General Counsel of RA Housing. Members of the public can visit the RA Housing website to view today's agenda for the Affordable Housing Trust and information and documents for each of the actions being taken. If the teleconference portion of the meeting is interrupted, we will stop the meeting and attempt to restore the audio. A trustee of the Affordable Housing Trust, Carol Ventura, will preside this morning's meeting. Trustees, staff, guests, commissioners, please do state your name prior to speaking for the benefit of those listening in by teleconference. And with that, I will turn it over to the trustee to call the meeting to order.
Thank you. This is Carol Ventura. Let's do a roll of the trustees. Carol LaChapelle. Here. Commissioner Guy.
Here.
Matt. Moving on. Action item number one is approval of the minutes of the Affordable Housing Trust Fund meeting held on December 18th, 2025. May I have a motion, please?
So, second.
Any questions or discussion?
All those voting in favor of approval of the minutes of the Affordable Housing Trust Fund meeting held on December 18, 2025, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. We have a unanimous vote to approve. Thank you.
So we're moving on to action item number two, just a bit of background. Ben and members of the team spent a little bit of time viewing the site acquisition loan program and also the pre-development loan program to make some edits to bring it current. And so it was a good opportunity to take another fresh look at those two programs. So that's what you'll be hearing today. So agenda item number two is approval of the nonprofit acquisition bridge loan program outlined in terms. Ben is going.
Thank you. Good morning, Ben Frost speaking. This is, in effect, a rebranding and retooling of an existing program, the program we call Land Bank. But it's, at least since 2016, has really operated as an acquisition bridge loan program for nonprofit organizations. And with the creation of the statutory Land Bank program here at Rhode Island Housing, it seemed like a good idea to change things to avoid confusion. So what we're presenting here is the acquisition bridge loan program for nonprofit organizations. Loans to be made to 12 months, a maximum LTV of 97%. And the loans of up to $1 million would be made by staff committee, over $1 million would be made by the trustee. We're recommending an allocation of the trust, up to $8 million.
One other thing I'd like to know before we go into approve the action. Very long time ago, this was an acquisition program, and Rhode Island Housing would acquire the real estate and hold it in our portfolio. And it became very clear that it was convenient to leave those assets there for quite a while because there was no incentive for developers to get moving on the funding and on the project. So we changed our land bank approach to this type of structure in particular. Okay, may I have a motion to approve action item number two, approval of nonprofit acquisition bridge loan program outlined in terms?
So moved. Second.
Motion to approve it. Second. Any other discussion?
I just want to say I appreciate the history and I also appreciate the change in the name. I was getting confused. Land Bank.
Yes. Yes.
With these, I know we're not calling it Land Bank anymore, but concern is that they do just hang out there forever. And I see the 12-month term, but I don't see any emphasis really on the repayment source. So what is really going to kick this thing out within 12 months?
Financing, right? So there are different types of developments. So it could be funding through us. It could be funding through the housing department. It could be funding at the local level. So but that would be the takeout.
But do they have to have an identified takeout, though? Would that be of the... It will be. Okay, good.
It's not that simple.
I'm sorry.
What is the plan going forward?
Correct. Right. And then would this be largely you're thinking new construction or acquisition rehab or what?
Both.
I'm just thinking 12 months. We don't even have with those projects that are awarded 9% credits or I mean, what are they close? 18 months or something like that. So I don't necessarily want to set ourselves up for failure here. 12 months. Given the history seems pretty short, and if it's a little loosey-goosey on repayment terms, especially.
Yeah, I think certainly the 9% deals, the multifamily deals, would may stretch over and may require an extension, a six-month extension. But I'd rather have a shorter term to hold people's feet to the fire than, come out of the gate with 18 months to be able to close.
Well, what's the penalty? What's the fire?
We could foreclose and take the asset.
So, yeah, unless it's worth less, if they can't get financing, that probably means not anybody else will, which means the value is probably less than what we appraised at.
Or it could be that, a developer has too much on their plate, can't focus on
right.
it. So, we've often brought in new developers when folks have not been able to.
Right.
So we've done that. I mean, we've had the West Greenwich property for
23
years now. So,
which is why they moved away from holding the real estate.
Yeah. I mean, if this ends up being unreasonable, or if we see that we're doing extension upon extension, we may come back to you with some kind of strategy. But I feel comfortable with what the staff has worked on and. They've been thoughtful about this. It's taken a bit of time to get this.
Sure. Commissioner, we did talk, Carol, James and I talked about having some data on four developments that pull through on about this and pretty long costs. What's the track record?
So I do have some information, if you'd like, on the SFRF dollars we deploy, the pre-development and site acquisition. And I can certainly help you put together. If you can just pass that down. Just kind of an overview. So we had in total over pre-development site acquisition and then ERA to pre-development site acquisition, total of 135 applications. That's a little bit misleading because a lot of duplication between, SAP and pre-development where folks applied for both because they want to acquire the property and do some work on it. So you can see of those 135 applications, 8 didn't get funding. 28 have moved forward. They're in the process already of having gotten preliminary firm or are under construction. We received 18 applications in the most recent round for projects using that financing. There are another 19 that are still able to come in and get financing, and 19 projects that have already been completed. So it is working, and we are moving these things through the pipeline, as you can see, with a fairly high success rate in terms of actually obtaining funding. So it's the programs, are working as designed. And, I think it really does speak to the work of the development group, which was fantastic, to identify projects that are going to be good, that we're not just, even though we had a lot of time pressure to get this money out the door, we weren't just throwing good money after bad to get whatever was nailed down. We got things and you've worked with developers that are able to act quickly and move things forward. So I feel confident that as we go forward with the like I said, land bank, with the acquisition bridge loan program and the pre-development program that Ben will talk about next, that it's going to do what it's supposed to do, and that people are able to transition pretty rapidly to get these things through the pipeline. You're not just sitting on a project for a long time.
This is
for
David.
Thank you.
All those in favor of approving the nonprofit acquisition bridge loan program outline and terms as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. We have the unanimous vote to approve. Thank you.
Right. So moving on to action item number three, approval of pre-development loan program outline in terms. Ben, you're up again.
Ben Frost speaking. This is revisions to an existing program, the existing pre-development loan program, which is to benefit nonprofit organizations. The program that we've run for many years, it has not been utilized for the past couple of years, as Dave's indicated, because we've used the ARPA funds to do that sort of activity. So this is really refreshing this now that those funds are gone. This would be for loans of up to 24 months and sized based on the size of the development. So for projects up to $1 million, the loans would be up to $100,000 for loan. For projects over $1 million, loans could go up to $250,000. And consistent with the practice that we've exercised for many years, decisions would be made by staff committee. We are recommending an allocation of trust funds of up to $2 million.
May I have a motion to approve action number three, approval of development loan program?
Second.
Motion to approve and second. Any discussion, questions?
Commissioner Goddard, so the advance of project development review, they can be developed self-improvements. It's basically just advancing
to big itself.
Yes. Okay.
That's all. Okay. I have just a general comment. This would apply to both of these. The way these are drafted, they're more of, I'd say, general outlines, not necessarily, you know, a detailed, you know, term sheet. I think from a developer's perspective, they're always going to be looking at, okay, what is the rate? How much do I have to pay in fees, and what is the term? And these are not really giving what the rate is, not really saying what the fees are. So,
and Tara, remind them, do we price these when they come in?
We do.
Yeah. So we price them when they come in.
Oh, I know, but maybe, and again, it should be a discussion with the loan officer, and so they'll get that information. But if this is something that we're quoting as a term sheet that we're putting on our website and hopefully attracting developers coming in, you know, the more specific information we can provide, I think that maybe if there's like an indication rate or something like that, and indications of fees that you could expect every $1 million, maybe you pay 2% or something. I think it would be helpful.
Okay.
I think what you find is that rather than quoting a specific target fee or interest rate, it's going to generate a conversation. So I'll get an email or a call from a developer who's interested in utilizing this program, start talking about what the ballpark would be. And if that's within their comfort zone, then
I
think, though, that leads to questions about who gets what and who gets to negotiate based on that conversation. So if the interest rate is pegged off of something, that's straightforward.
Right.
If the fees are pegged off or there's a range, let's get it out there instead of, oh, I talked to Ben and I got this rate, which is not a fair characterization, but it's what can get out there.
We'll tighten it up.
All those in favor of approving the pre-development loan program outline and terms as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. We have a unanimous vote to approve.
Okay, I have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor of adjourning this meeting, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Okay.
Yes, Deb.